The true measurement of your progress in this our spiritual journey is your conformation to the image of Christ. Every other thing is just secondary. So if you check your life, maybe the last 1 year, 2 years, 3 years that you have been around praying, fasting and doing other things. And the reason why I'm saying this thing is that prayer can produce many results. Fasting can produce many results. You can actually read your Bible to be more knowledgeable. The Bible can make you wise. Is it not true? Can make you wise. Many motivational speakers, they got their insight from the Bible. If you read the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Psalms, normally you'll be wise. Is it not true? You can also read the Bible to win arguments. Don't you like winning arguments?
Yeah, I like it.
So you can also read the Bible to win arguments. It's not a bad thing. But the goal of all things we are doing is to become like Christ. So you see, we can do Bible reading. Have you done Bible reading before? Have you done Bible reading before? Don't lie. That means you are lying. Could have just told me no. Okay, you are correct. Have you done Bible reading before? From where to where? Genesis to Revelation or Matthew to Revelation? Eh? Matthew to Revelation. How many times? Okay, so he has done Matthew to Revelation. Are you getting the point? So there are many people that have done Bible reading. And it's very, very good for you to do Bible reading. But when Satan tempts me, brings temptation on the same thing I have crammed in my head. Are you with me now? Satan brings temptation on the same thing I've crammed in my head. I will fail and fail many times. But there is this, some mama in the church, they are not able to recite the Bible the way I'm doing it. But if Satan tempts them, they don't fall. What's my problem? My head, I have big head. I have big head, but my heart is small. You see, so Bible reading does not bring transformation. But if we can't get transformation except we read the Bible, but the reading alone is not what causes the transformation. First of all, you have to have the target for transformation. You have to have the target. The fruit of spiritual discipline navigates towards your expectation. You see, if you come to Revival Hub, one of our brothers sent me a message this afternoon. He said, Papa, I want to fast. Tell me how to fast to get power. Somebody said, power. So there are many people that follow me, that pray with us. Their target is to get power. When they point at people, the way I point. Okay, you like it. When you point at people, the way I point at people, they just fall on the ground and they are shaking. You will now be releasing utterance. Somebody say transformation. Those things are results. They are fruits that can be produced. Breakthrough is one. If you pray, you can move from somebody that cannot find money to eat to somebody that has millions that he can give out. It can come from prayer and is good too. Are you getting the point? Can get healing, can get promotion, can get many, many things he can get for you. God, those things, God is not too interested in them. The reason is because Soludo can do it. Don't you think so? Do you know who is Oludo? Can he give you 1 million? Can he give you a job? Can he do everything concerning your wedding?
Yes, sir.
Can he buy you a car? Can he make you commissioner? Can he make you to start flying aeroplane? Can he buy you land? Our normal prayer point, has he not finished? Has he not finished? If you want power, there is one Baba that posted on my Facebook page. I don't know who are the owners of that. We are posting something important. The Baba posted and said, if you want spiritual power, come. So I can direct you to that Baba. Are you getting the point? In case you want spiritual power, it will not take you anything. Eh? It will not take you anything to have spiritual power, just your manhood. Or, are you getting the point? It will not cost, will it cost you anything?
No.
Either it cost, just. Just donate your manhood. Or you donate your brother. I know our officer will not allow you. Where is officer? So, he is in need of power, and they told him to donate somebody. And he wants to donate you. Will you agree? Maybe you can donate this guy. So it doesn't take anything. That's the point. I was discussing with some things with some people today, and we are analyzing how somebody can be a prayerful man of God, maybe in his younger years, only for him to, and God use him. They pray well. They pray well. They study well. They fast well. Only for him to get let and then become corrupted and start doing many things. I told them that one of the reasons is simple. One of the reasons is because many of them placed too much emphasis on manifestation, power, result. What did I say? Manifestation, power, result. If you want to have result in life, by all means, Satan will give you result. Or if you have some results, you will now be under pressure to maintain it. Are you getting the point? What if I come to Bedpans and I saw only 10 people here? What will I do? Huh? Okay, what will you do? He said he will feel somehow. God help me. If I come, I don't see anybody. I will be happy. The reason why I will be happy is that there is many study. I've been trying to catch up with my Bible studies, but because we do morning session and evening session, I've not been able to catch up. Jesus is the one that called me. It's not easy to get there. I'm not saying that I'm always like that. But I'm saying it is a blessing for your focus to be correct. I keep saying it. If it's money you want, what if you get the money? What will you do? If it's anointing you want, what if you get it? If it's husband you want, how do you know that Soludo can give you husband? Huh? You don't know. Human beings can give. Soludo can give you husband though. All he needs to do is to come and say, I want my daughter to marry and somebody that will take care of her. I'm going to give you 150 million. Some of these lazy boys, the number, he will put a number. The number will keep ringing. The number will keep what? Ringing. In fact, there are people that is searching for big men that have daughters so that they will, is the, is one of the ways to make it in life. Is it not true? I'm not saying you should not marry a big man's daughter. What I'm saying is that that thing cannot be the reason why we are coming. That thing cannot be the reason why Jesus died. That thing cannot be the reason why he shed his blood. That thing cannot be the reason why the Holy Ghost came. That thing cannot be the reason why we have been teaching Bible, laboring. From the days of Peter till now, we are still laboring. For money. For church growth mechanics. Church growth dynamics. How to fill your church with members. Is that why Jesus died? Why? So, you see, if you ask yourself these sincere questions early enough, I call this sincere because you can ask questions and you are not sincere. If you ask yourself this sincere question, you find out. Let's assume I make money. Let's assume I now have international ministry. I go to Zambia. I go to... Sometimes invitations will be coming. 6 invitations from Kenya. 7 invitations from South Africa. Invitation Uganda, Madagascar. No Madagascar. Angola. Help me call some countries you know that people normally go for invitations. Ethiopia. Where again? Kenya. London. Canada. US. Belgium. Germany. Singapore. France. Spain. Italy. Where again? Australia. Where again? Keep calling. Ghana. Gabon. Liberia. If Jesus has not helped you, your breakthrough can be your end. You pray. God now gave you breakthrough. Give me one example of breakthrough, Sister Jacinta. One example of breakthrough now. Financial breakthrough. Okay. Do you know you can have financial breakthrough now? And then you now have, let me use somebody that likes. Who will I use now? Let me still use you. You have financial breakthrough now, and you now have 120 million. Are you getting the point?
Yes.
And then you now buy Mercedes, TR rubber, Mercedes EQ. You bought it for 45 million. Somebody said 45 million.
45 million.
Do you know that if you have Mercedes and you are driving it every day and nobody is sitting beside you, that is boring? Is it not boring? I will not hear anything. No problem. The day Joshua buys Mercedes, you don't know how much sisters like you. They have been. It's your car that has not arrived. Okay, let me stop here. What I'm telling you, once your car arrives, you will find out that there are sisters that is going towards your direction after service. It's just that you are trekking. That's why they have not asked you. Which side are you taking, sir? Ibona wata wa ini humoto before. Huh? One of our brothers. Where is Raymond? Where is Rock? Hi, he's not here. He used to come to Bedpans with Mercedes, GLK. One day he came, he pressed something, the roof opened. Somebody said the roof opened. And I saw like 2 or 3 sisters in the car. I don't care whether you are speaking in tongues there or whether you are leading worship there. They carried you in that car now that time. Listen, the temptation of women will not come if you are still trekking. Are you seeing it now? And because you have not focused on overcoming the temptation of lust of the opposite gender, and I'm saying whether you are married or not is irrespective. Some people think that marriage is an automatic cure for lust. Look at you. Huh. If you have not conquered lust, if you are not disciplined and you quickly go and marry, that is why if you want to marry, you want to marry, you want to marry, you want to marry, it's a proof you might not be ready for marriage. Especially if you are a guy. Are you hearing me? Something is telling you, I need to marry this year. I need to marry. I need to marry. I need to marry. My mates are married. I need to marry. My mates are. It's a proof that you is possible, likely. 80% likely that you are not ready for marriage. What are you going to do in the marriage? Many times you have not even discovered the purpose of that marriage. What you want to do is to go there and satisfy your lust. You need to be a disciplined man. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
The reason why I'm saying all these things is that you have to set your goals correct. If not, at the end of these 50 days, God might not have achieved. He would have achieved some things, but he might not have achieved much. The reason is because your goal is not correct. Are you blessed? Please listen to this thing I'm telling you now. You can stay in this congregation and several people are transformed, being brought. The goal, as I said it before, is to become like Christ, is to approximate into the image. The Bible says, we all with open face, beholding like in a mirror the image of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from one level of glory to what? Another level. If you are praying, your character should improve. That's what I mean. Are you getting the point? The reason why we are teaching this thing is that sometimes your breakthrough point can just be a change in character. It can just be a change in attitude. Just attitude. Just attitude. You have to trust God. Do you know that you can have my kind of calling, but you don't have my kind of attitude, and you will not be able to ever maximize your calling? In fact, you will not enter your calling at all. You can pray the way I pray, fast the way I fast, but you don't have. There are attitudes that make great people. Are you with me? If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Are you blessed? Oh,
yes.
Please listen to what I'm telling you now. Is a burden. There are. I took a study of the people that is, I don't know about people that have died. You know, you can say Charles Finney, you can call many great people, but I'm talking about people that I know that are alive. Some of them I have access to. I wanted to know what is it about them that made them to enter into their calling. Are they the only kind of people that is called to this kind of thing? I found out that beyond fasting and prayer, there is a point of spiritual discipline that they have. There is the point of character that they developed. But there is also an attitude that they have. You see it now. Let me give you an example of that. An example of such attitude. This set of people, they self-supervise themselves. They what? Self-supervise. Let me give you an example. Whether Papa is around or not around doesn't affect what you are doing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, if Apostle is not around, you reduce your prayer. If he's around, you increase your prayer. You can't become like me. In fact, before now, I pray more when there is no physical supervision. I do more. If you're around, I can relax, hoping that you will tell me to adjust when things are wrong. Are you getting the point? But if you are not around, I will hold myself by a higher standard. There are people, as soon as supervision is not available, they lose their guard. They lose their guard. They can't push themselves. I found out that everybody that has a great destiny has this capacity to push himself. And you see yourself, you are here. You notice that as soon as nobody is pushing you, you are down. You need to You need to expect that this release of the spirit by fasting prayers should work on that thing. God cannot do anything beyond that. There has to be an attitudinal change. Something needs to happen. Are you getting the point? There is this set of people that have this laid-back attitude. You know, there are some of my brothers, that's what I've been rebuking them about. They are this laid-back. You know, why should I kill myself? If you push them, they now leave and step aside and say, I can't kill, I've tried my best. Nobody becomes great with that kind of attitude. Every great person allows himself to be under pressure. If you can't stay under pressure, just pack and go. Because where you are aiming is a place where there is constant pressure, spiritually, physically, mentally, all around, from family, from everywhere. And you are expected to deliver all the time. The first question you ask, my sister, even quasi more jota. In a jota. There's something now. Amen. The first question you ask some great people when you come around them is, how do you manage to do this? Is it not true? Because when you see their kind of life, you wonder, how do this? When do you rest? How do you do this? In fact, those people don't wait for things to put them under pressure. They put themselves under pressure. So that by the time your pressure is coming, it is nothing compared to the pressure they are putting themselves in. Are you getting it? If it is not that elders warned me, I would have been here after my wedding. In fact, I was coming, but one elder waylaid me along the way. My father died, I was here. Is it not true? January 10th, 2021. I took my father, you were there now. I took him, put him in the mortuary, came here and preached. Did I behave as if anything happened to me? See, this one now, we have prayed and fasted. But there is attitudes that you need to develop. Write it down. Lord, show me the attitudes I need to develop. That the Holy Spirit need to work out in me this period. Number two, show me the character that he needs to work out. Number three, show me the disciplines that I need to abide to. The reason why I wanted to start this way before we continue with our matter of the cross is because several of the time, if God is pressing you on this matter, it is hard. And because it is not likely that you will like the way the Holy Spirit is emphasizing on it, it has become a matter that only the cross can handle. Because the cross goes to areas of your life that you don't really like anybody to enter there. Are you getting the point? Sometimes you just like a very nice and quiet life. Don't you like garden? Don't you like a duplex? Don't you like a car? Are you getting the point? Don't you like plasma TV with woofer, with my message playing on it? Let me... Because that's the way we normally deceive God. You say, God, if you give me money, I will use it for the gospel. Die first. Die to greed. It's not money you need. What you need is to die to greed. Are you getting the point? So there are several things you need to develop. Some of the time, the only difference between where you are and making progress in God is just one attitude. If you miss your prayer time and then you wake up, how do you feel? You feel bad. If you miss your lecture, how do you feel? Do you feel as bad as you feel when you miss your... See, because when you asked me that question, I was telling you, you were arguing with me. You are telling me that you are trying your best. What did I answer you? Huh? She said, I answered that you are not serious. It's true. Are you blessed so far? I want to show you something. There are goals to, you should have targets. The ultimate target is to become like Christ. Jesus went and preached. After preaching, those days there is no vehicle. He was trekking. He came to Samaria and his disciples went to buy food. He was actually sitting down and he was testing. Guess what? Ministry started again. He did not complain. He started preaching to that woman. That is how far Jesus can go to deliver his own ministry. Lord, if you are the one that is calling me, give me a hall. Lord, if you want me to do this call, you know, give me a hall, give me share, and give me 50 members to start with. Go and rest. You don't have a calling. You see, this thing I said sounds funny. It is actually the prayer point of 70% of young pastors. There is no young pastor here that is not praying for members. And he's not praying for her. And he's not praying for anointing. And he's not praying. Is it not true? And, okay, you people are quiet. The Lord will bless you. Your day will never be bad. In Jesus' name. Even if you do mistake, God will bless you and your mistake in Jesus' name. Okay, let me say the one. The mercy of God covers all your mistakes in Jesus' name. Amen. It covers all your errors in Jesus' name. Amen. It covers all your shortfalling in Jesus' name. Amen. It covers all your mess up in Jesus' name. Amen. The mercy of the Lord is always with you. And even if you fail 100 times, fall 100 times, the mercy of the Lord will come and visit you in Jesus' name. Amen. The mercy of the Lord will never depart from you, even in your ngwopianamehe. I want to be like Paul. I will receive mercy to be faithful. You will receive mercy to be whopping in the mehe. Me, I will receive mercy to avoid it. The mercy can come to keep you. And mercy can also come as you fall to restore you or to bring you back. Unfortunately, if this is the starting line and then you fall, if you are coming back, where will you start? Is it not starting line? If mercy keep me and I move and come here, and you fall and you came back, where will you start? Where will I be? If you fall again, and God, if God give us mercy, give me and give you, and you fall. Where will you go? Back. Where will I go? Front. After 10 years, where will you be? Starting line. Where will I be? 10 steps forward. After me, Lord, I pray for your mercy. Define the one you want. So you can say, Lord, the mercy that will make me, if I fall 1,000 times, I will get up. If I fall 20,000 times, if I do masturbate, anything I do, Lord, you will not forget me. You will not. But me, I'm praying for mercy to be consistent, mercy to be faithful, mercy to produce consistent results. In Jesus' name. And if you notice that these things we spoke about, that it is hard for you to enter into it, then you need the ministry of the cross. We said that the cross works in three ways. And we said that first of all, that the cross works in three ways to achieve the end of God in our life in diverse scenarios. Number one, we said that the cross works legally by what? Faith. Number two, the cross works organically by knowledge. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. So the first work of the cross is the faith work. The second work of the cross is the organic work. The first work of the cross by faith, bro, don't play. Carry your jotter. The first work of the cross by faith is, the first work of faith is legally and it is achieved by faith. The second work of faith is organically and it is achieved by what? Knowledge. Let's read this scripture together. 1, 2, ready, go.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with
him. Uh-huh.
That the body of sin might be destroyed.
Okay.
That henceforth we should not serve sin.
Let's read it one more time.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified.
Wait. All of us, let's read it. 1, 2, ready, go. Let's see the next verse. Let's read it. 1, 2, ready, go.
For he that is dead is free from sin.
Okay, so let's go back to verse 6. Say after me, knowing this.
Knowing this.
So the key aspect of this part of the scripture is this phrase. What is the phrase? Knowing this. So if we already know, why is the man telling us knowing this? As a matter of fact, it is not only in this verse that this matter came up. It came up in several cases in this Romans chapter 6. Have you been told to do something before and you are now afraid, you are not doing it well, and they ask you, are you not a man? Have somebody not asked you that question before? The question you ask, is the person not seeing me? Are you getting the point? He's seeing that physically you are a man and they are asking you, are you not a man? That will mean that the question is beyond just mere awareness. It means that there is something missing. That's the challenge here. He said, knowing this, assuming you know this, this is the way your life would have panned out. This is the way you would have lived. This is the organic production in your life. I see you still struggling with prayer. There is a knowledge that is missing. I see you still struggling with this. There are several things in your life that is a resultant effect of an absence of knowledge. Are you getting the point now? This your life. Is it your own? Are you sure? Are you sure? Get mic for her. Let's confirm. This your life. Is it your own? So she now answered well. She said, it is not supposed to be her own. Because legally, it's not her own. She has been bought by a price. Unfortunately, as she lived daily, it is evidential that it is still her life that she is living. Remember where we started yesterday when we were talking about the legal aspect in the book of Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. It was Paul that was speaking there. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Are you getting it? He is not he will give. He has given. And this operation has taken place. And in identification, what happened to Christ happened to you. Are you getting the point? Unfortunately, we still come and find out that you are still lying. The question is, your lying tongue, was it not part of the things that was nailed to the cross? Are you getting where I'm going now? And that is to make it big. We can bring it as down as the clothes you wear. The question I want to ask you now. This clothes you bought now, did you get permission from God to buy it? I know some of you, listen to me, if you don't obey God, if you don't seek God, if you don't seek God's opinion in things you call trivial matters, the real big matters, you will not even remember that is important. Talk more of asking God's opinion. Guess what? I was teaching you people that the greatest challenge of today's believer is that They try to make a lot of disparity between the things that is spiritual and the things that is physical. As far as God is concerned, there is no difference. Huh? Let me give you an example. If you can be a normal person, we'll now lay hands on you and say, from today, you are a pastor. Is it not a physical thing we did? Guess what? As far as God is concerned, it is a spiritual act. So, we are doing physical things and God accords a spiritual reality to that activity. Meaning that as far as God is concerned, there is no difference between spiritual and physical. The difference that the scripture has shown us is the difference between spiritual and natural. The difference between spiritual and carnal. Are you getting the point? But there is no difference between spiritual and physical. As a matter of fact, as I was teaching you people, both carnal things, spiritual things, and natural things finds expression in the physical realm. The theater for expressing these three dimensions that was recorded in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is the physical realm. We will not know something is natural until it is in this physical realm. We will not know that you are a spiritual person. Are you getting the point? Spirituality is not a spooky thing. Spirituality is not mysticism. Spirituality is not even spectacular supernatural. Spirituality is very, very physical. Huh? If you slap somebody and the person did not respond, say, hey, my brother, this is not good. The Bible doesn't accept. You slap him again. He quietly left. Now, even if you feel as if you don't owe the person anything, something will register in your heart that this person must be spiritual. So as far as you're concerned, are you getting the point? The proof that the prayer this person is praying has produced a spiritual result is that the person did not respond the way he used to respond when this kind of thing happens. Is it not true? That means that the test of spirituality is not in the realm of the spirit. It is in the physical realm. If you start becoming more spiritual, it will affect your dressing. Dressing is in what realm? Physical realm. If you start becoming more spiritual, it will affect your talk. You can't say anything. Your words are too dirty, too vulgar. If they ask you, you say it doesn't mean anything. No. If you start becoming more spiritual, it will affect your stomach. What did I say? It will affect your stomach. You cannot come and insist that you will eat foreign rice. It will affect what? Your stomach. Have your spirituality affected your stomach? Sometimes I go with some of my brothers for missions. When I go there, they will buy things for me. Have you eaten? It be like I go carry you. Omo, you go shop away your destiny. If you go to some program with me, you may backslide. If you go 7 times, you will backslide. You will not read your Bible. I think you have gone to one with me. Did you remember to read your Bible during those days? You will not read your Bible. You will not. There's one me and Budos I went to. They now loaded the table. The table, there is a table, there is a way it is. From this place, fruits, apple, parfait, yogurt, all kinds of stuff. They now brought, they brought swallow, we have not touched it. They brought ofako, we have not touched it. They are asking us, what else do we want? Are you getting the point? I told Buddha, this is your labor. Enter into your labor. Because as we are entering the hotel, I saw a principality in the spirit, a female spirit. She's already hanging. I said, what if I eat one spoon? I said, no. Now, remember, if you have not have discipline, you will eat that food. Even when you know it is a detriment of your spiritual potency. That means, is food a bad thing? For you now, that food has become a spiritual matter.
is a very spiritual how you eat. Not just the quantity, the kind of food you eat is very, very spiritual. Several times, your penchant for junk is a proof that you also desire spiritual junk. Are you getting the point? If you become a truly spiritual person, God will start teaching you truths in parallel reality. Are you getting it now? He can come and show you something that is profound spiritually by just something physical. Can wake up in the morning and give your small child food and say, "Mommy, I'm tired of milk. I'm tired of milk." You give her, you know he likes milk, and suddenly he's saying, "I'm tired of milk. I'm tired of milk." You that is spiritual should know it's a message. Is it not true? That God is saying, you should be tired of milk. You should be tired of milk. But if you are not spiritual, like one of my aunties used to do those days. That's my cousin. He used to do it for. He's now a very big man. He is married with children. But those days, come and say, do you know what I said? Should we fry egg for you? What do you want? Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Okay, I think I was able to explain what organic was. Where is that our lawyer that was sitting here? You now, lawyer now. Huh? But we don't need lawyers today. We need medical people today. Or who studied microbiology here? Microbiology. What is an organism? Give him mic. Because I told you people that legally by faith, organically by knowledge is him. So what is an organism? Sit down, you are in your father's house.
Okay, sir. An organism is any living thing that is in a habitat.
An organism is any living thing that is in a habitat. Is he correct? Come and give him the mic. He says somehow. So the remaining how, he will supply it. Because when I said organically, you should know what he means. Okay, huh?
I think he's correct, but like what I actually think an organism is actually something that has life, like the life in it is, but I don't know of the habitats. That's why I don't complete.
You made the point. Give Valentine. Valo has all the answer always. Huh?
Okay. Papa, I would say an organism is, one of the definitions is that an organism captures life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, as a result of the life, it has the capacity to carry out all the things that living things should exhibit. Things like mobility, things that capacity to die, capacity to respond to changes in the environment.
This is, I think, definition. That's good. So the characteristics of the organism is because of the life. It is the life that gave it the capacity to express those things. Is it not true? The only thing you are missing in your definition is the word life. Somebody say life. Let me explain to you. When you got born again, there are a few things that happen. The word regeneration captures three major events. I think I've taught it here. Is it not true? Number one. Huh? That is not number one. Number one is what? Number one is what? Anybody that have guessed the answer, I have something for you. Huh? Number one is what? Huh? I have taught it here repeatedly. Number one is what? Huh? Who said atonement? Okay, read your book. Make you no fame. My hand no damn. How you go come tell me atonement? Who knows the answer? Who knows the answer? Huh? Huh?
show me your GP after now. Send me your GP on WhatsApp. Let me know whether you deform my hand. Can you say redemption? Who else? Remission of sin. Let's clap for her. So I said, I owe you something. I owe you 24 hours fasting. I owe you. Is it not a good thing? Why are you people shouting? So, watch. Remission of sin is not the same thing as forgiveness of sin. I have taught it. Who knows the difference? Come and give Perfect the mic to tell us the difference between remission and forgiveness. I know some of you have not heard something like this before. Have you heard this, Sylvia? So you need to hear it today. Look at the guy now.
I might be wrong, but I think...
Oh God, stop giving us an exemption. Answer us.
Right. Remission of sin is particularly of the sin of humanity in Adam.
Okay.
But forgiveness is subsequently as there's an intercessory work of Christ that causes for our sins to be continually being forgiven. But remission is particularly of the sin in Adam.
You tried. Go and give Elijah mandate. Go and give Elijah mandate. The difference between... Please, pay attention. I know you don't know this. Just learn.
Okay, sir, in almost in line with what he was saying. So, remission is actually the original sin that was factored in Adam. So, remission is dealing with the matter of that sin. And then...
There is a point you people are not making. Come and give Chika. I might come to you, but let him speak.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
No, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So I believe remission of sin is the actual payment.
Somebody say payment. Yeah. Payment of what?
Sin.
No, debt. The debt is a better word to use. Are you getting it now? The wages or debt of sin is debt. What Jesus, what we used to pay. You know, there is a song we used to sing that helps us to understand it. He paid the debt we could not. How did he sing it? Not owe. I owe the debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. That's why a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Lord Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Listen, remission happens once, but forgiveness is continuous. In fact, it is on the basis of remittance that forgiveness can be given. Listen. Remittance is a debt that is owed. But the matter of forgiveness is not hinging on debt or no debt. Watch it now. Let me give you an example. Let's assume I stole your car 5 years ago. Police now caught me, or you now caught me, and now paid back the car that I'm owing. Does it mean you are forgiving me for what I did? But I paid back what I'm owing. Did you forgive me? Are you seeing it now? Watch. So it means that paying back what you owe is a prerequisite for forgiveness. You should not even talk about forgiveness until you have paid back what you are owing. And we cannot pay back what we are owing. Because the wages of sin is what? Debt. And the scripture said every man from Adam is concluded under sin. It means that even if
you have not done anything sinful. You are still a man of sin. There is still sin in you. So Jesus came and paid. That debt we are owing, humanity is owing, he remitted. It's an accounting language, it's remittance. There is an app called Remitter. Is it not true?
Yes.
So you remitted like you did account. You said, okay, what is due this person? You remitted the fund that you got and remitted it to the person that should get it. And because of that, anybody that comes, we sign for him. We said he has paid. We sign for him. If you come 1,000 times for forgiveness, we will give you forgiveness because it has been what? Paid for. Did you understand this? Did he help you? That's number one. What was the second one? Justification, you are correct. What was the third one? Made alive. So there are three things that happens at regeneration. When we say three things that happen, these things happen instantly. But you need to know that it is actually three separate events that happen instantaneously to bring men into the reality of their new life. Now, my emphasis is on the third one, which is being made alive. Being made alive is being quickened from the dead. And two things happen. You were quickened from the dead and you were given the life of God. Two major things is involved in being made alive. And the reason why I have to go to this point is to teach you that the reason why, listen to me, are you with me? If you are not made alive, you cannot host the life of God. What did I say? If you are not made alive, you cannot host the life of God. The reason why we spoke about life using the organic definition in our biology to capture it is because you cannot and should not expect a character to be manifest from a person's life that has not received the kind of life that can bring out that character. Is it not true? If you have human life, then we can demand human character from you. If you have the life of goat, what should we expect? If you have the life of chicken, what should we expect? If you have the life of God, what should we expect? Godly character. You see, so God was not placing the emphasis of his character from you until he gave you his life. Huh? It is the organic work of the life of God that produces, that should. Somebody say that should. It is that probability that made this person say, I noticed that there is a disparity. That some people are producing the fruit of character and some are not. Some people are having dominion over sin, some are not. Some people are making progress in their walk with God, some are not. Meanwhile, all of them has received the life. Are you getting the point? And if we gave ourselves to the life, there are characters, there are characteristics that we should have as a result of the fact that the organic life is flourishing. Did you force yourself to grow? Well, how did you grow? You just ate. And is it not true? That means the life has the ability to produce its character. It's not by force. You don't force spiritual character. I keep teaching it. I keep teaching that Christian character is not suppression. Now, many times when we are taught, we are being taught Christian character, the emphasis is mostly on suppression. Now, you can live a you can just manage and live a disciplined, suppressed life for the immediate so that it can help you to help your neighbor. For example, let me give you an example. I want a sister that is tying her tie because I saw a comment online and somebody said, why are people not tying her tie? Who is tying her tie here? I don't want... Oh! Sister Uchenna is good, and you have her tie, and you don't have earring. So that's very, very good. Are you getting the point? This way is good. Are you seeing the way she is dressing? It's okay, especially if it helps. Because don't come and tell me, I'm still coming to that point. Don't come and tell me that holiness is in the heart. Emanuzi Mbenuku. Do you know what is Mbenuku? You see? That means there is no way the life of Christ can produce in Benuku. No way. Are you getting the point? No way. Now, but wearing in Benuku is not also a direct, not wearing Maxi. I hope I'm correct. Wearing Maxi is not also a proof of the character, even though if you have it, You should cover yourself. Are you getting the point? Now, the point is this. You can wear, you can dress like him, yet inside of you, you are not holy. And for the meantime, it's not bad. Are you getting the point? But don't assume that a change of clothes means a change of character. Don't assume that tying your hair means that you know submission. Because when the scripture spoke about covering of hair, what the scripture is talking about is not covering this your physical hair. It is submission. So a woman that tied her head with scarf that doesn't submit to the husband doesn't know what is head covering. Are you getting where I'm going now? So you can tie your hair scarf, but make sure you obey your husband, which is a harder thing. Between tying her scarf and submitting to your husband, which one is harder? I will tie 10 her scarf. The one Yoruba people call gele, whatever, I don't care. That thing can't enter this door. That thing can't enter this door. Huh? Some of them went to that meeting. Their husband is not aware. They took their husband's money. There is nothing in the house. The children are not trained, nothing. But they tied her scarf on Sunday morning. They fought their husband. I live with somebody that fought the husband, was a pastor. Where tie in a step? Where tie? Don't walk him, mother. Do it. The man shook. Guess what? He's supposed to preach that morning. What do you want to say? When he finished shaking him, she now tied her scarf and followed the husband. And when worship was going on, she lifted her hands. I put it to you that your head is uncovered. An unsubmissive woman is operating with an uncovered hair. You don't know what is head covering. What the scripture is talking about is about authority. So let's assume you cover your physical hair. Huh? The reality in the spirit, your spiritual, is it covered? Do you know authority and submission? That is the point that God is trying to make. That he's trying to paint a picture between the man and the woman that he painted between the church and the head, who is Christ. Are you getting it? That the only way we can grow into the fullness of what the Christ is by submitting to him. And I hope you know, according to the scripture, that everything... Amen? Everything you are seeing happening in the spirit, God captured its essence in physical things. So the relationship between man and husband is the relationship between the church and the Christ. If you are with me so far, say amen. Amen. So this is what I'm trying to say. The reason why God gave you his life is so that his life can produce his character. Are you getting it? Meanwhile, listen. As you are looking at Ifeanyi Chukwu there now. Ifeanyi now could have been a good person since he was born. The way I'm looking at you, is it not true? Maybe somebody like me, self. If you have known me when I was small, I don't look for trouble. In fact, when I used to go to my grandmother's place, there is people that used to live around there. Huh? If I not come with Chiedukwu Okwu, even though I don't believe that that thing is from God, how can my mouth be closed? Meanwhile, I'm supposed to speak to generation. Fire! Fire, fire, fire. Satan should not close your mouth, oh! If that your mouth is what should deliver generations. Anyway, that's by the way. Now, if I was a normally a quiet person. Are you learning? Listen to me. I told you people that the cross defeated a lot of things about us. One of it is the flesh or the old man. The old man is whom you are before you came to Christ. First of all, the old man is an existing objective entity. The new man is an existing objective entity. Let me explain what I mean. Huh? The new man is a kind of person. And the old man is a kind of person. And there are only two kinds of person that have existed on this earth. The first one is the old man. The second one is the new man. Where is my reference from? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I will prefer you go back and read it yourself because it contains a lot of things. The argument of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the argument of resurrection. But in the bid to make an argument for resurrection, he touched very powerful stuff. So he said that his challenge with transformation is that we are first partakers of the old man before we became partakers of the new man. So it means that in you like this is dwelling two men. So your job in transformation is to wear Christ to the point that the old man is totally obliterated. Listen, but dwelling in your spirit is the life of God. So your job is to feed that life so that it can grow to the point that it overshadows every other thing you are. Now, this is my point. The old man is not totally bad. Are you with me? Are you not a giver? Before you got born again, don't you like giving people things? Huh? Before you got born again, there are people, they don't find trouble. They don't look for trouble. Before they got born again. In fact, somebody like me, since I caught fire that, you know this thing I do and all that, I'm not always like that. Oh. I'm one of the most quiet people you can meet. Unfortunately, that quietness have to also go to the cross. Listen to me. I know you don't like what I want to tell you now. The intelligence you had as a natural person still need to go to the cross. You can't serve God with your natural intelligence. We do not know your calling because there are some people that are expressive, they are mobilizers. So we call them evangelists. Not true. It is the calling of God and the anointing that defines what you are called to do. Not your tendency as a natural person. Oh, we can see Jacinta now and she's quiet. And God says she's an evangelist. But you are a quiet person. No, be so. You are a quiet person. Come on, so that was I go do first. Come on. I don't know if you're not like a fan now. But, I don't care. Me fi yeme. She got a man. I bless him. Thank you. Is when the spirit is our transformation, we realize who we are. So, the cross is the demarcation. Write it down. The cross is the demarcation between the old creature and the new creature, between the old man and the new man. What did I say? The cross is the demarcation. The dividing line between the old creature and the new creature. The old man and the new man. Let me make another point. The new man has everything good about it. The old man has good aspects in it. When you go to the cross, your intelligence have to die. The cross have to pass through your normal natural intelligence. I don't know about you. But there is a way you follow God. Some of the things you can do well as a normal human being, you find out that all of them started failing. How many of you it happened to you? It started failing and failing and failing and failing. Failed too much. Do you know what is happening? God is passing the cross through your natural strength. Somebody say natural strength. Even your natural strength have to go there. Some people, their boast is their beauty. They are beautiful sisters. You better go to the cross on time before you marry a wrong husband. Like Reynog. Reynog the Opiao. What do you think? What a man can do, a woman can do it now. Don't you like it? Sisters, don't you like it? You people don't like it again. But what a man can do, a woman can. If a man pay up, a woman can. May you not go as a living thing to your husband's house and come back as a dead thing. Don't believe this thing feminist is telling you. Ona horo go na nwoke. Api opo. Opi ewo fun na solar plexus e da o.
With even honor one about if he gets tired, he now say, "Ika abuna boom." I watched one video clip. One guy was talking with a lady, The lady now stood up, went and slapped him. Wah! The guy now stood up, slapped the lady. The lady fell like. The lady be a bend their man and she didn't fall to the ground. I don't know how to say it. There is no word. You need to watch the video. How many of you saw that thing? The lady folded like this, fell to the ground. Boom! Stood up quietly, went and sat down. Her life was rebooted. Listen to me. Listen to me. Don't depend on your beauty to get a good marriage. Don't depend on your beauty. If you like, try. Maybe somewhere, but if it's in this revival hub, I will not allow my son to marry you. I know you know I don't. You don't know I have that kind of power, sister. You don't know I have that kind of power. I have it. I have it. I will not allow. Okay, somewhere like Ifeanyi, stand up, stand up. Muke Dazuludim Panam. Yeah. Is it not true? He now tells me, I saw a sister, I want to marry the sister. The sister, Bia, now came to bedpans. I say, Bia, no name, Metua. Bia, Keno now. Kweba, no. Bia, Keno now. Keep arranging your hair. In the next 5 years, I will help you and buy with one. So that you'll be arranging your hair. If you like, don't pray. I keep saying it. A sister that doesn't pray is not beautiful. She's ugly. Oga, listen to me. Anytime you think about a sister 3 times, report yourself. What did I say? 3 times. What do you do? You can be seated. The same thing goes for the other way around. If you think it's because of your connection that you will make it in ministry, God will make you to fail so that you stop trusting man. Are you getting the point? That those things, are they bad? No. But even the cross has to pass through it. And the point is this. These things cannot be realized except by living. And that living is as a result of life. You can't live if you don't have life. Is it not true? So the testimonies that is being born, the testimony of the fruit of God being born from you, is because of the life of God that you have. God will not expect you to be loving if he didn't implant the character of love in his life. He will not expect you to be patient if there is no character of patience in his life. Is it not true? He will not expect you to be gentle if there is no character. Are you getting it? Now, the reason why they ask this question, I say, knowing this. There is a place they also said, know ye not. I think it's also in this chapter 6. Are you getting the point? They are telling you, know you not that the life you received is not a chopping sin life. Do you have something to say? No, you don't have something to say. Know ye not that the life you received is not a life. It's not a life that enjoys too much. How many hours do you put in NIVG in the night? 2 hours. That's good. That's very good. That's very high mark. Do you know that the new life you received is not a guyman life? Some of our brothers here might not believe it, but there is nothing we can do about it. It's not a guyman life. It might take you time to realize it, but the earlier, the better.
Somebody said the cross.
The cross.
Now, the teaching of the cross is actually the power of God. What makes people identify fully with us as we being believers is not the joining of a church. The day we have entered into has made people, they, if you even say you are a pastor, they even hold their money well. To the point that me these days, I don't, if you ask me what's your name, I'll say my name is Edu. Because the pastor Abakagwe Benine, I went to Zambia, they said that Nigerian pastors have now Abakago Zambia. I went to Brazil, they said now Abakago Brazil. See, where is remaining? A Nigerian pastor can enter here now and bring out his singlet and cut it and say bye. It's possible that you have even bought singlet. $1,000 a piece of singlet, that's a very big business venture. I didn't know. Are you getting the point?
Yes, sir.
Oh, but I will now calculate it. 10 singlet, cut it, $1,000, not naira, dollars. Even if it is naira, if you cut your singlet into 20 pieces and sell it $1,000 naira, unethical. Unethical. By the time you are going back there and telling them that you are pastor, they will say, come to this side. Come to this side. They will search you well. If you tell them you are bishop, they will now take you inside the room and put you inside the machine. The only way people can truly identify with your new life in Christ Jesus is if the cross passes through you. They now come and check those things you used to do before and find out you can't do it. Huh? How can you be born again? You are now born again, but you hide one place and you are nodding to some song. You are nodding. You are not drinking alcohol, but all your friends are drinking alcohol. It's the same thing. You are drinking. You are not smoking. All your friends are smoking. It's the same thing. Your own is worse. Is it not true? They will smoke, do it like you. And then, is it not wickedness? Somebody is enjoying and punishing you because that smoke coming out from their mouth is even more dangerous than the main one. He said, they do it like this, smoke, blow it on you. I say, you know, I just hang around and take moth. Go to the cross and die. There is no way you can convince those people that you have received a new life until something dies. And when we mean by die, we don't mean that all the time you are tempted, all the time. If you keep being tempted by certain things, it's a proof you have not died to it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Do you know that before God uses you heavily in ministry, that you should die to pulpit? Huh? I know you don't believe it. But what will happen is that God will give you a pulpit. When you are now doing well, he will now say, give me back my pulpit. Several ministers of the gospel that became corrupted and became manipulated, they became half true and half untrue, are people that God gave the pulpit to test them. Then after some time, he said, give me back. They refused to give back. And if you refuse to give God back his pulpit, it means that you will be supplying the energy to run that pulpit by what? Yourself. Now, those people, when they now try, they found out that they can't do what they used to do before. If you try to do what you used to do before and you can't do it, what are you going to do? You look for alternatives. Is it not true? In searching for alternatives, they make dangerous friends. They now go to Ghana and watch their eyes. That Ghana water, is it still working? Bro, this is our brother from Ghana. Is he still working?
Yes, sir. Huh? Yes, sir.
Why no one watch your eye? Amen. There is a place they watch eye in Ghana. You know one go? Time is passing, though. Two weekend. Oh, Ebana, Sanya. Weba, how watch? Okay, you be Ghana now. You just Sanya.
Somebody said the cross. The challenge of the writer in the book of Romans is that even though several things about the old man, he said, no, you know that the old man has been crucified. That your tendencies, your lie, your lustfulness, your greed, your temper, your bad attitude, all of them has been crucified. But when we now come to your life, are you getting it? We are not seeing that thing. The life is, the organic dimension is not representing it, but the legal dimension has represented it. How do we now translate what is in the book into your life? Somebody say knowledge.
Knowledge.
I didn't hear. Somebody say knowledge.
Knowledge.
Listen to me. When we talk about the knowledge of God or the things of God, books and even physical Bible are just gateways. But the knowledge which we are talking about is not the knowledge of books. Is it not true? Okay, let me give you an example. Jesus took three of his disciples to the mountain, okay, to pray at the Garden of Gethsemane. Is it not true? He came and told them, watch with me for how many hours?
1 hour.
If you are the one that Jesus called to that prayer meeting, will you sleep? Will you sleep? Who told you? Will you sleep, you? I like the way you said the truth. Do you know Jesus? Don't you want an encounter with Jesus Christ?
I want, sir.
Mm-hmm. Jesus now called you and said, let's go and pray for 1 hour on the mountain. Will you sleep there?
I will sleep, sir.
You, will you sleep there? Huh? You will sleep. You will sleep more than Peter. Let me prove it to you. Some of you, before you joined us in Revival Hub, you are struggling with 10 minutes prayer. What suddenly made you to pray now? Are you seeing it now? There was an activation of the oppression of a life that powered you in prayer. You used to struggle. Don't go and boast. 5 minutes, you would ask yourself. Even in that 5 minutes, you are sleeping, praying it. Morning devotion, we did not survive morning. When we were small, morning devotion now, it did pain me. Am I the only one morning devotion used to pain? And my mother and my father, hey, they will not miss morning devotion. They even, one day I wanted to sleep, they now told me to lead song. It's my brother that knows how to do it. Yes. Anywhere he wakes up, he joins. It's not only in my family, it's happening in your own too. Uh-huh. Who told you won't sleep? The same Peter that slept in that prayer meeting came to the book of Acts chapter 6 verse 4. He said, we ourselves, we will give ourselves to the ministry of the word and what?
Prayers.
And we will give ourselves continually to prayer. And how did Peter come to the point where prayer became an occupation? Me that doesn't like prayer, and I come to Facebook, I will say prayer is sweet. The point is not to intimidate you. The point is to show you that there is a life. There is a life that can sponsor several experiences in God. It takes a knowledge that came. The knowledge is not head knowledge. It takes a knowledge and a epignosis for you to enter it. What is epignosis? You don't know. Go and find out. When you find out, you submit the answer to me before 11 p.m. this night. I'm not telling you. Well, how will you submit your own? So I'm not talking to you. So epignosis, there is something God opens up to you. So that is why he's saying in this Roman, he said, know ye not, know ye, know ye not, know ye. Assuming that if you knew, your life would have been better. You would have produced a different kind of result.
Listen to me. Several limitations that a believer have in operating the new life that he has in Christ Jesus is consequent upon knowledge, the knowledge of how to operate those things in Christ Jesus. You can't do more than you know. In fact, several people, their life improved when they started hearing the right teaching. Is it not true? So at this point now, teaching is critical for a man entering into the impact of the cross. So the cross works into you by life. This life is something that comes by knowledge. This knowledge comes by what? Somebody say teaching. It doesn't need to be a teacher. I just said teaching because you needed a teaching. You can be reading your Bible and God will teach you a knowledge. I was reading my Bible one day. And I read the same place in the book of Romans chapter 8 that I always read. And the scripture said there that if the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in my mortal bodies, that same spirit that raised him from the dead will quicken me. Where? Somebody say mortal body. Not in your spirit, not in your soul. This body, the Holy Spirit can quicken it. Can quicken it. Can quicken it. Can quicken. From that day, weakness in the place of prayer died forever. How did God do it? Knowledge. Knowledge from where? Scripture. Lastly, for today, number three, the cross works into us experimentally by dealings. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Experimentally by what? Dealings. Go and give Valentine Iboke the mic. Valentine, tell us, what is an experiment? And if you can tell us what is an experiment, then you tell us what it means for something to be experimental. Okay. I said Hebrews 12, not 11.
Okay, first, there is something comes first before...
Hebrews 12, not 11.
Before an experiment begins, I want to say something, sir. That there has to be a question or a problem first before now bringing up an experiment. So an experiment is not a limbo. There is already an existing problem. So people that started carrying out experiments are trying ways of providing solution to the problem.
So if there is no problem, there can be experiment.
We can have research. Research on a particular or just randomly, because people can get ideas and then begin to ask questions like, is there not anything like this in existence that can spur on a research work? But if it is an experiment, it is often from an observed problem or phenomenon that now begins to make them...
I don't know why I don't agree with you. I'm not saying everything he said is wrong, but something is telling me something is missing. Because he said there must be a problem for there to be an experiment.
Or an observation.
So we must have a problem before we do an experiment. Who said no there? Who said that loud no? Go and give him the mic. Give him the mic. Give him the mic. Give the person the mic. Who said the no? I adjure you in the name of Jesus. Raise your hand. Are you the one that said that loud no? No, he's there. Who amongst you said no here? He's not from here. He's from here. Are you the one? Are you the one, Joshua? Go and give Ikweze the mic. Let her tell us what is experiment.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, from my own field.
Choma, where is Faustina? Oh, this is easy. Some of these, our people are big people. If you are greeting them, give them respect. They have master's degree, pursuing doctorate. One of these sisters. Is it easy? Continue.
From my field, when you want to conduct an experiment, you actually have an objective in mind.
Must it be a problem?
No, it mustn't be a problem.
But you said it's a problem. That you want to offer a solution. A question that needs an answer. You are modifying your answers. Is it a problem or a question or an inquiry? Do you know you can just be inquisitive? Huh? Hypothesis. Okay, answer. Perfect is here. Wow.
Okay, so you just have, there's literally a knowledge, the essence of an experiment actually is just to fill a knowledge bank. You just want to supply knowledge. You want to supply something that is lacking. Mm-hmm. It may not necessarily be a problem, but you know there can be an improvement on already existing solution. So mm-hmm. you just want to bring your own to ensure that probably what we have is stable or okay. better than what we had.
Let me, I don't know too much. Let me ask you. Let me check this thing now. If I do pap and put salt in it, am I not experimenting? That's why I'm not accepting your answer. I want to experience something. Are you getting it? There is a whole point about experience that is missing in their answer. And that's, I'm not against what they are saying. But they are making emphasis on something that is not the emphasis in the matter of experiment. The thing about experiment is not the question or whatever. The thing about experiment is that experience. I want to know how it feels in my mouth to use salt and take pap. Try it. My God. I know that there are brothers that have drank garri with salt. Huh?
I don't like it.
Have you tested? There is a garri called Soak and Travel. Have you done Soak and Travel? Huh? You don't know what God has done for you. Look at the way you are looking like an American, whatever. Amo, me, I've done Soak and Travel from secondary school days. What is Soak and Travel? Take small garri, put it in something. Use water, fill the thing. Leave it by 8 a.m., come back by 2. The thing will rise by a mysterious means. That's what is called Soak and Travel. Amen. Follow me now. So, I said that the last work of the cross is... Is what? By what? So, what God does now is to use things to test in his work. We test it in. Satan works like this too. Test it. Whether there will be a spark. I want to read 11 verses from here. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1. If you are there, say amen. Now, somebody will say, is this place talking about it? Yes, it is. Watch. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily what? Beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Next verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured what? So the context is what? The context is what?
The cross.
Just underline that the cross. The whole verse from 1 to 11 or 12 thereabout is about what? The cross. So I believe Paul is the one that wrote the book of Hebrews. And Paul is very legally in his understanding. And I hope you know that an average master, you know, Paul is a teacher. He's a graduate from the school of Gamaliel. Is it not true?
Yes, sir.
An average person that graduates from the school of the law and the prophets, that person is more like a lawyer today. Because we'll be taught a lot of things. And actually the scripture calls them doctors of what? Law. The doctors of what?
The law.
Doctors of what?
The law.
Well, Paul is one. That is why he cannot... You cannot help but see what Paul studied in school
the prowess, what he studied is zapping in into his emphasis. So Paul sees all his epistles is always legally sound. Go and check. Everything Paul wrote is always what? Legally sound. Before Paul will tell you, be holy, he will use 12 verses to make arguments. Are you getting the point? He will make argument with heavenly things, make argument on earth, make argument on hell, then tell you to be holy. If it is not because of that, give me sound now. If it is not because of that, how will he go to Mars Hill? How many of you have heard of Mars Hill? He went, you don't know of Mars Hill, where Paul argued, where he saw a picture and he said, they gave a space and he said to an unknown God. And the man with mastery, he started from the unknown. By the time he was through, a whole city fell. By the time he was through, that's Paul. So he's legally sound. And the Greeks are not too moved with science. They are moved with knowledge and wisdom. That means a man that will confront them will have to be knowledgeable in the things of God. This is where the defense of our faith comes into play. Because a man that will defend the faith will both be sound in doctrine and in power. Because there are several defenses you cannot bring with only power. You have to be knowledgeable. You have to know things in the scripture. Such is the man that was Paul. And anytime he writes, the writer of the book of Hebrews was not indicated. But if you check the language, you will find out that literally is the language of Paul. And several of the things he spoke about in this book of Hebrews were literal languages that is borrowed from many of his epistles. And you notice here that he's already laying a foundation of argument for the statement that we make after now. So all this one that he said, looking unto Jesus, he's trying to tell you that there is a man that first set a pattern for us. The pattern he set was a pattern that he got from what he did on the cross. And if the cross worked on him, the system through which he became what he is the system through which we will become what we are supposed to be. So he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Are you getting the point? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That means that there is a way, the faith you have, the faith that is being matured in you, the faith that is being perfected in you, was uttered by a man. Who is the man? Jesus. There is a way he uttered that faith, and there is a way he finished it. And if a man is expecting perfection, a finishing, a completion of the faith of the Christ that he has received, he must pay heed to the way that faith was uttered and that faith was finished. And the scripture said, the cross. Somebody said the cross. Despising the shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Next verse. For consider him. If I'm you, I will underline this phrase. Somebody say, consider him. So this treatise is to invoke your consciousness, is to call you to consider, to think upon, to bring it as a matter that you will keep on the bones and burner of your meditations. When you stay in the days of your meditations, you consider, how did Jesus achieve what he did? By what means did he become the Lord of Lords? What's the means? By what means did he attain that coronation service? By what means was he worthy? By what means did he save us? By what means did he obtain redemption? By what means did salvation come? By what means was he perfected? By what means did he become the firstborn from the dead? By what means? By what means did he attain all authority? Because when he rose from the dead, he met his disciples. He said, hey, for all power has been given to me. That was not the language he gave them before he died. By what means? Did you want to be a man of authority in the kingdom? You need to consider Jesus. And don't just consider him, consider the means by which he attained his authority. Are you getting the point now? And what does that mean? Somebody said the cross. Do you want to be a man of purity and holiness? Do you want to be a man of truth? Do you want to be a man of character? Do you want to be a man of power? Consider Jesus. That is what the scripture says. Consider him. Consider that the faith you have is not your own. According to the testimony of Peter in the book of Acts chapter 3, when he raised the man at the beautiful gate, And men, we are surprised. He said, no. Never ye think that by our holiness and righteousness, we are able to raise this person that you see that is walking today. He said, no. That it is the faith of God. It is the faith. That faith of God, it also came. Can you show me that place? I just want Jesus. Before Joshua can arrive there. Acts chapter 3. Verse 16. Good. He said, and his name, through faith in his name, had made this man whole. What made the man whole? Somebody say his name. How was he made whole? Somebody said, through faith in his name. Do you know he didn't stop there? The faith which is by him. That means you don't have anything to offer. What made the man whole? Somebody say his name. And whenever you hear the name of Jesus, it is the bandwidth of the authority that he has. And the bandwidth of the authority of Jesus is boundless. Are you getting the point? Meanwhile, within that bandwidth, many of us that has been called into the execution of his ministry that he gave to us has a measure of authority we have to do that. But his name did the work. How was the name activated? By faith in his name. How did the faith that activated the name come by? The faith that activated the name to work came from him. Are you seeing it? Look at it. And his name. Is it not true? How? Through faith in his name. The faith which is what? By him. Somebody say, consider Jesus. Today is a day of consideration. Consider Jesus. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Are you getting the point? That means that I told you people that this is a matter of consideration, a matter of meditation. Is it not true? Say, lest you be wearied in your mind. That means you might not have responded. Your actions, your life might not have become off, but you are already thinking it in your mind. He said, consider Jesus. If you want to faint, what? Consider Jesus. If you want to give up, what? Consider Jesus. If you want to say it's too much, what? Consider Jesus. If you want to give up, what? Consider Jesus. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Next verse. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against what? Sin. This is one of the scriptures that saved me when I was in campus. When I wanted to struggle with certain sins, I went to the mountain. Vet Mountain. When I went to the mountain, I took some messages, but there are some songs that I went with. Those days of Chris Devan Gwamna. Devan had a sharp knife. I don't know where the man is. He still here? Chris Devan. I took some of his songs, and when I went there, it was as if I was in a theater and somebody was operating me, circumcising my flesh, because it was bogus. Several things I never knew it was wrong. But when I went on that mountain, it was touching them. One of the songs I will never forget on that mountain, he sang, little foxes spoil the vine. Because of how I grew up and the environment of Christianity where I found myself, my challenge was not the big sins. Are you getting where I'm going? And that is the case with many of you. If we check you, we cannot find the big things that you have fallen short of. It is those small things that is robbing you of spiritual power. The day you drop it, the tremendous results you will see. You will wonder, why is it this small thing that is actually stopping me from entering into the large thing in God? The reason is this: you think like a man. Because for a man, something that is small in the natural, he thinks it is small in the spirit. Several things that you think is not a big thing, for God it is very, very big. And the things you think is big, for God it is nothing. There are people that God will say, stop lying. They will come and sow the seed of 1 million. In their mind, 1 million is a bigger thing than stop lying. What they don't know is that obedience is superior to sacrifice. Are you blessed? Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto sons. My son, despite not the chastening. Somebody say chastening. Chastening. The better word to use here, anywhere you see chastening, put discipline. Despite not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Next verse. For whom the Lord loveth. I don't understand how the proof of love is discipline. So if a man is without discipline, that means he has not known love. Huh? If God begins to take you serious, and many times, God can exemplify that thing by doing it through the oversight that he has put over you, if the person is correct. Are you getting the point? He said, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. I think you need to go back and pray this night and say, Lord, discipline me. That's when you will find out that you are a lawless being. Simply to pray for 1 hour, your mind is everywhere in your business. You are a lawless person, but you are not seeing it as a big thing. When we say you are looking for people that, so I used to read your update on WhatsApp, and some people. But if you check where you will find, just ask God this night. Ask God, testing me, discipline me, show me my departure. What God will reveal to you will shock you. That is when you will find out that you are neglecting the matter of your mind running everywhere when you are praying, but you don't know that as far as God is concerned, that is an indiscipline. If you continue on that path, you cannot be a master of the secret place. And the strength of your calling is the weight that you have gathered in your secret place. And God is trying to bring discipline to that culture, to that activity. And you have rejected him for many years. You are doing many other things. You don't know that that thing you call small is the secret of power. It's the secret of the breakthrough to the ministry of the next level. Because God knows that if he opens ministry for you in the next level, you will backslide. Because you will no more have time to do Bible study. You will no more have time to pray. You will be so interested in doing ministry that you forget the secret place. That is how men backslide. Very soon, temptation. You will come in a service and the power of God will move. And you go back. You did not pray that night. You did not study. Tomorrow, you did not. You did not fast that week. Meanwhile, the anointing moved. Are you getting the point? Suddenly, a sister, you look at a sister and lust after her. You will want to stop yourself. You cannot. Because there is no power on your altar. There is no fire on your altar. There is no blood on your altar to resist that temptation. The challenge is that the day God was teaching you discipline, you ran away. The secret place has its disciplines. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Next verse. If you endure the chastening, God dealeth. Somebody said deal. I told you people that the third one is experimentally by what? Dealing. This is it. God dealeth with you as sons. Do you want God to deal with you as son? Don't be quick to answer that. You don't know the dealings of sons. A day will come when you will hang on the cross. You will say, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Nobody will hear you. If you have not come to the dealing of the cross when you cried out for help and even God did not answer you, you don't know the cross yet. You will pray fast. He made 7 days dry. Nothing will happen. Why? You are hanging on the cross. And on the cross, Eli, Eli doesn't answer. You have to pass through the process. The dealing has to furnish its essence in you. The ultimate purpose of God, desire of God, has to be exhausted. And then God will bring you out from there. Next verse. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. Somebody say, all are partakers. Then are ye what? I didn't know that bastard is in the Bible. Those days we are small. If somebody wants to insult you, you say, bastard. Brother, you are born again, but you are a bastard. What makes somebody a bastard is not that you are going to church. You are born again. You have confessed Jesus. But they said you don't have discipline. And because of that, you are what? That is a profound statement. It's very big to make. Several churches cannot accept this statement. That living anyhow is a proof that they don't know you. Every son is not a son that doesn't know discipline. When you live anyhow, you are without discipline. When you do what you want, you are without discipline. When you live a life of lasciviousness, immorality, indiscipline, you are a bastard. When God counts his son, you are not one of them. What did he say? He said, then are ye bastards and not what? Sons. Next verse. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Next verse. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. We need to dig this deeper in the next class. Next verse. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be what? Joyous. You have to put this in memory. But grievous, nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that we are what? That means God can hand you out a dealing and you are not exercising it. So is you? God can give you a dealing, but you did not give yourself. He gave you, but you didn't give yourself to it. So after suffering, passing through process, instead of becoming what is in the heart of God, you became a more wicked person. You don't know. There are people God took money from them. Instead of greed to die, they became more greedy. That means the dealing of God, they did not exercise themselves therein. Next verse, finally. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Are you sure we are finished? Let me see next verse. Let me see. Okay. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. But let it rather be what? Healed. Pray for 1 minute. Say, Lord, discipline me that I might be healed. Teach me the path of righteousness. Bless me with dealings. Pray it. Say after me, bless me with dealings. And say, Lord, when you bless me, I will accept it. Pray with me. No man can become a son without dealings. The pathway of sons is the path of discipline. When they yield themselves, God will work out the peaceable fruits of righteousness. Maturity will be their portal. You will never be able to hold heavy things for God until you submit yourself to the dealings of God by the Spirit. And when you cry out to him, he will hand it out. May you not cry for God to save you out of what you prayed for. Because the scripture testified and said that many times the dealings of God are grievous for the moment. But when God has achieved his aim in your life, the man that you will become will be a cynosure of all eyes, a wonder to a generation, a display, a theater for the glory of God. The splendor of the almightiness of God will be displayed in your life, and people will desire to be you. And by the act of God in your life, many will be drawn to God. Many will testify that indeed in this generation, God has men. God has men. Do not deny God of his testimony. Only men that have gone to the cross will become the testimonies and testifiers of the very life of God. If the life of God is only trapped within you and the outer man of the flesh has not been broken, then it is not possible for the life of God to break out. It takes the dealings of the cross for the outer man to break out, so the inner man of glory will flow out, and then a generation will be blessed by the virtues of God that is invested in your spirit. Can you cry to God, bless me with dealings? Jesus mighty. Please, I will beseech you to go back and pray this prayer this night and expect feedback from God.
We believe God's word came to you with accuracy and power. To connect with the ministry of God's servant, Apostle Edude Chukwu, with unlimited access to life transforming messages, visit www.revivalhubinternational.org. Follow us on all social media platforms at Revival Hub International. For inquiries and partnership, email us at revivalhubglobal@gmail.com.